Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Boldness, it's the willingness to do what must be done, no matter the cost. Paul took a stand for the ages atop Mars Hill, telling Greek philosophers the truth about God as creator and his son as redeemer. Today, how you and I can be as bold as Paul. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the legacy of a converted man. Turn to Acts chapter 17 as Dr. Lutzer quotes Paul during his effective witnessing for Christ.
And God has fixed a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness. Now notice, when he says this, he is going against the Epicureans, who believe that when you die like a dog. There's no existence beyond. Oh yeah? You're going to meet God. As it says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And then to the Stoics, you know, oh, my soul is going to be absorbed into the grand pantheistic divine, whatever that means. You are going to stand before God and you are going to be judged by him. Immediately, we think of a problem we have, and that's called sin. Now, you know that I stay out of politics, but I do know what's going on. I don't know what you think about Donald Trump, and I also know that this sermon may be listened to in years to come, so I need to explain that while it is being preached, Trump is making headlines. I never thought of saying this before, but you could say he's trumping a lot of other people. Did you see the interview he had with Anderson Cooper the other day? Cooper asked him, have you ever had to ask God for forgiveness? And I'm paraphrasing here. This is not a direct quote, but it is the essence. Well, you know, if I did something wrong, I'd ask for forgiveness, but I can't think of anything that I've done that is wrong. I've always tried to do the right. And by the way, I'm rich. And Cooper asked him, have you ever had to repent? Well, he said, I take the cracker and the wine in church. But he said, I've always tried to do everything right. If there was something I needed to repent for, I think I would. Here's the thought that came to mind. The larger your ego, the smaller your God. All right? Do we have a witness to that? Now let's talk about you. And let me say this, that you who are sitting there, perhaps arms folded, content with your own private view of God, the reason you can live with yourself is because your ego is so ingrained, and if I might say it, you are so filled with self-righteousness that you can't see the forest for the trees. You really can't. You know, many people think, oh, if God showed up, I'd high-five him. I would hug him. I'd say, God, great to see you. What were you doing back there when I was suffering? You look at the Bible. Isaiah, in the presence of God, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell within a city of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I preached messages on the book of Job this past week. That was my series. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. I don't want to be too hard on you, but I do want to be clear. Who do you think you are if you can come up with your own conception of God and be satisfied with it? It's not the God of the Bible. By the way, this past week, a student asked me a very good question. He said, I know somebody who said that he'd receive Christ as Savior, but he won't because of the problem of evil. How could God see thousands of kids starve? How could he put up with the horrors of the Holocaust and all that? I can't believe. So this is the answer I gave. It isn't a total answer, but I believe it's an answer. The problem of evil does not call into question the existence of God, but it does call into question what kind of a God exists. What kind of a God is it that can watch all the evil going on and not intervene? So how do we respond to the fact that God exists and evil exists? A couple of comments. One of the places we can't go is to say that God doesn't care. We can't do that because Jesus is a reminder of the fact, as he hung there on the cross for us, God cares, and he cares very deeply. So we can't go in that direction. If you wonder how come you know that God is love, you can't look at nature, though sometimes you see it. You hurry to the cross and you say, yes, God is a God of love, for God so loved the world that he gave. But then I said this. Actually, the problem of evil should drive people into the arms of Jesus rather than turn them away. If God is the kind of God to be able to watch the Holocaust and to see the tremendous evil in the world and not intervene, I think you'd better make sure really fast that you're at peace with him. That's what I suggest. If God can put up with natural disasters and blow people away and all the terrible things that happen and the untold suffering, maybe the doctrine of hell is not as strange or as far out as you think it is. I'd say, since the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, I would say run to Jesus really fast, because in him we have protection from the wrath of God, we have complete acceptance, we have complete forgiveness. All that is waiting for you if you believe on Jesus. Now, when Paul was finished his speech, there were three responses. Verse 32, now when they heard about the resurrection, some of them mocked. They were saying, you know, we were listening to some strange things, but this is a little too strange. So they mocked. During the days of Noah, people mocked. When Abraham predicted the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, people mocked, the Bible says. But the Bible also says, God will not be mocked. If you're a mocker here today, you came to hear the right sermon to bring you to the kind of repentance that ends your mocking and thanking God for Jesus. But some mocked. Others said, we will hear you again about this. I'm going to put it off. Dr. Sweeting, who once occupied this pulpit years ago, liked to say that the road to tomorrow leads to a town called never. It's the greatest weapon Satan has is tomorrow. The Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't say tomorrow. You've heard enough today to know that there is a God. There is a judgment coming, and Jesus is the answer to your need. You've heard enough to know that. Don't put it off. And then it says, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius, the Areopagite. Who in the world was he? We don't know much about him, but he apparently was one of the intellectual leaders there at the Areopagus. Someday in eternity, maybe we'll find out the impact that he had among the other philosophers when he believed. He was the great intellectual, and you may think today that you're the great intellectual. I encourage you to believe the gospel. And Damaris and others with them, a woman, that we don't know much about. But again, who knows what kind of a witness she had. And today, as I preach this sermon, and it's heard here, and it's heard in different places of the world, and heard over the radio, I expect those three responses. Some, no, I can't believe, because of pride, you mock. Some, yeah, I think this could be true, but I've got lots of time. I'm young. And then there are those who say, if God is God, and if Jesus is the only Savior, today I believe. And you can do that even where you are seated or where you are listening. If in your heart God has granted you that faith to say, today I receive Jesus as Savior, today is the greatest day of your life. There is none greater. And if you believe, would you tell a member of the pastoral staff or me or someone? We want to encourage you in your faith, because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus and the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today from the depths of our hearts that the Apostle Paul did not stay in the synagogue, and we pray that we might not stay in our churches, but to know that there's a marketplace out there. There are jobs, there are neighbors, there are friends, and we need not be intimidated. We can tell people what Jesus did for us. We can do that much. We can give them a Gospel of John. Help us, Father, to realize that there are people out there whom you are calling to salvation, whom you intend to save through us. And save people now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friend, listen carefully. There are some of you out there right now whom I believe you're receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray that you'll find a place where you can simply pray. Prayer does not save you, but it's the means that God has by which we tell him that now we do receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do that. When you've done that, would you do something that would really bless us? You go to our website, moodymedia.org. It's moodymedia.org, and click on the contact button. And let us know what Running to Win means to you, and especially if you've come to saving faith in Christ. And by the way, others who are listening, pick up the phone, call someone, tell them to listen to Running to Win as we continue this series of messages, and soon we will be speaking on being on trial for Christ.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Witnessing for Christ, another message on the legacy of a converted man. Paul's enemies had him arrested on false charges, sending him to Caesarea. Next time, we see the apostle on trial for Christ. This series on the life of Paul can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.